case number D538315, Loftus versus Hall. Counsel, please state your name and bar number for the record.
Mary Perry, bar number 7863, on behalf of the defendant in an unbundled capacity.
No, no, for the record, the plaintiff's present and proper person. Let's start with some of the housekeeping that needs to happen. All of the exhibits to the opposition are being stricken. When you have 350 plus pages, they are to be filed separately and indexed properly. Since that wasn't done, they're simply stricken. I'm also striking them because they contain confidential CPS and dependency case information. I'm also striking any materials pertaining to the J case and the CPS matter that were attached to the motion. Again, they are confidential. And any supplement that's been filed that further contains such information is to be stricken. So, Carol, you're going to need to go through the docket because there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't belong there. Can we agree that I'll use this as the case management conference since I have both parties' pleadings now?
Yes, ma'am.
Save you a hearing? All right. Have you spoken with the plaintiff?
I have not, Your Honor.
I have a long history with this case.
Yes, ma'am.
It has come forward, then gotten dismissed, come forward and gotten dismissed. And my recollection is that your client has been unable to proceed up to this point because he was concerned about the safety of the children.
Correct.
My concern here is something tragic happened with the party's youngest child. Okay, we all know that. Okay? I mean, it's probably the height of bonehead things you can do. What I'm not entirely persuaded is that the two older children are at risk of harm with their mother. The reason I am not is because your client is apparently not as concerned as he would have me believe, because he has, when it works for him, left the children in their mother's care. Can't have it both ways.
No, no, one of the problems that we have in this case is the oldest child has already talked about having been taken to the pool and allowed to swim without floaties, and the same thing almost happened to
him.
He's
seven.
He still needs to have floaties if he's going to be taken to the pool.
Your Honor,
needs proper swimming.
Why are you yelling at me, counsel?
Because this is a very...
Why are you yelling at me, counsel?
I apologize for yelling at you.
No, put your hand down, ma'am. Now, let me see if I understand this. Does the child know how to swim?
No.
He swims across the pool, Your Honor.
What?
He swims across the pool, Your Honor.
Look, I appreciate that your client is very frightened that something would happen again.
Correct.
Okay? But that doesn't mean that children should just blankly be forbidden from engaging in healthy physical activity, which includes a pool. We are in Southern Nevada, after all.
I agree with that. But they need the proper devices on.
Well, see, that's what I have a problem with. You have to persuade me that this child can't swim. And at the age of seven, most kids in Southern Nevada know how to swim. They may dog paddle, but they know how to swim because they spend their lives in pools. I'm having a hard time accepting that a seven-year-old... Now, I'll tell you one other thing. Any kid who's seven, who has his parents telling me you have to wear floaties, is going to rebel at that, because that's baby stuff. Floaties are for babies. Floaties are not for seven-year-old boys. And I can't imagine a bigger target on your back as a little boy at the age of seven with other boys who are not wearing floaties when you're wearing baby toys on your arms.
Yeah.
I have a hard time accepting that. That makes no sense to me.
And
it's almost like being overprotective.
I can see that, but could we at least get an order?